My grouping fingers failed to find the bell push that would summon help and relief. But I did find something else, a hand that came from the pain-racked night and clasped my own. Tormented by pain as I was, I still had to scroll down. I still felt a shock when I found my hand grasped by another's slim, warm one. A tiny beam of light pierced the dark. I could make out the features of my nocturnal visitor. It was Siti, Satura's sister. Without a word, she smiled at me, took off the ring and put one of those healing tablets in my mouth. Quickly, I looked at the ring she had taken. The metal insert inserted in the band of gold glowed with its warming light. Because of the tremendous pain, I had not felt the burning rays from my ring. The red-haired Australian had given me hope that the Itiberians were still on our own planet. No, here she was at my bedside, as if in answer to my prayers. How she had known that I was sick, how she had known where to find me, I did not know. All I was conscious of was her nearness, the sense of utter relief that engulfed me as she sat down on my bed and thought now she was with me to take from me that horrible pain. A faint light reflected from the jeweled talking device that I had last seen in Benares. Still without speaking, Siti stretched out her hands to me. Her sensitive fingers, from which she had removed the protective fingertip gloves, ran lightly over my face with gossamer touch. I did not know how long she had been in the room before she revealed her presence. I do not know how long her healing fingers suited my sweating, fevered face. But I know that what with her ministrations and the swift effect of the tablet, the pain eased from my body, and I wallowed in the peace. I was free of pain. Even the fever left me. In that moment, I took Siti into my arms, inhaling the sweet strangeness of her lovely body. Because of the closeness of our embrace, Siti hiding her mouth behind a minute veil of silk, I later found out that they used this in order to avoid infection, struggled to free herself, pouring broken little melodic nothings into my receptive ears. Siti stayed with me. We saw down some grey rows, saw the Catholic sisters make their way to chapel, heard her singing to welcome the new tropical day. It was then I asked her the question that had been bothering me. How did she know I was in South America, in Lima, in this hospital? She told me about a nurse called Maria Navidad she wanted to see, but had hesitated to do so because of several problems involved. It so happened that this was the young lady rescued by the mestizos and the Australian guide near the town of Pucallpo on the Ucayali River. Rescued as a baby and raised as an orphan by the sisters. We knew her mother, Siti informed me, and what she told me is almost impossible to believe. The mother of the baby had been terribly beaten. Near death, the Indian woman had been rescued by the out-of-space biologist, having found her near the first landing site. After healing the Indian woman, she was taken to Itibiratu, where she died soon after. She could not adjust herself to the different planet and yet had not wanted to return to Earth, so great her fear had been. But, as Siti later informed me, she died the way all Itibirians die, in peace and happiness. The mother of Maria Navidad must have been some kind of a celebrity on that planet, and the humanistic people had wanted to know as much about the former life she had led on Earth, and in particular about the baby that Siti asked me to talk to Maria Navidad, as she hesitated to do so herself. As I considered myself a very sick man, I told Siti about the coming operation, but she smiled softly and said, "You shall be free of pain for 6 of your months. All right, she was, and right she was. All this may be checked by anyone of my readers. I became the miracle patient of the famous Maison Francis Hospital in Lima, Peru. When the doctors came around to put me on the operating table, I had already eaten a very heavy breakfast, a thing I had not done for almost 3 weeks. I had gotten out of bed, a new man in need of hot and cold bath, feeling perfectly well. I had ventured outside. And eaten in one of the little Chinese coffee shops, the chifas, as they are called in Ecuador, Bolivia and Peru. Siti was right. I was able to report that I had not so much as a single twinge of pain, nor, although I was not to know it at that time, despite Siti's optimism, did I have any symptoms of kidney trouble for almost exactly the time she had indicated. I never enjoyed so good health as I experienced during the ensuing year. Without so much as a cold, a headache, toothache or any other ache or pain to which a man is heir. You would have seen the raised eyebrows that looks of disbelief among the medical people when, instead of being wheeled into the operating theater, I told them I was going to discharge myself as cured. They could tell just by looking at me that I was infinitely, infinitely better, and although they agreed to postpone the operation, they insisted that I should remain in the hospital at last until the next day in order to make another series of exhaustive tests and also to ensure themselves that I did not have a relapse. This I agreed to do, for I had to kill time for a day until an appointment I had with Siti to be at the sky room of the Hotel Grillon. For the rest of the day, I submitted myself to all the tests and checks that the doctors would devise. They were all negative. The Catholic sisters were ready to believe in a miracle, and the doctors continued to raise their eyebrows. Well, said the puzzled surgeon. You're fit as a flea. Then I can be discharged tomorrow morning? I said. Well, I see no reason why not. I shall be grateful then if you would arrange it. Certainly. This really is baffling, the doctor said again. Yesterday you were a very sick man, and today you seem to be a different person. I must have been visited by an angel during the night, I replied, making a feeble joke. Yeah, you must have been, he agreed, looking at me sharply, but my face gave offing away, and he left me in order to make the necessary arrangements for my discharge from hospital. Sister Marta was much more positive when she came back to my room. The saints be praised, she announced. A very miracle, if ever I've seen one. Whatever it is, I'm profoundly thankful, I told her. Not that I'm ungrateful for what you've done for me. I really felt very ill when I arrived here. You were, she affirmed. Sister Marta, I asked, do you know a colleague of yours who work in this hospital? Sister Maria Navidad? Indeed, I do. Not a nursing sister, you understand. She finished her finals at the beginning of this year. She is over in Man's Medical. Sister Marta favored me with a very shrewd look. Do you think I could have a word with her, please? I returned it as blandly as I could. Very well, I will see to it. She was as good as her word. I was sitting on the patio after lunch, luxuriating in the hot sunshine, when a young nurse, who could hardly have been more than 20, came up to my patio bench. Good afternoon, she began. Sister Marta informs me you wanted to see me. Indeed I do, nurse, I replied in Spanish, getting to my feet. Forgive me my taking this very personal interest in you, but I would like to take some pictures of you and Sister Marta before I have to go. Naturally, good natured as all the Latins are, she agreed and even smiled together with Sister Marta as I took the photos. Sister Marta and Maria Navidad could possibly understand this sudden interest. But when Sister Marta left the patio, I immediately turned to Maria Navidad and told her about the Australian guide and how I was informed about the rescue of the tiny little baby so many years ago. I wanted to make her talk, to hear her version of all this, but the young lady did not say a word. She just stood there as stuck by thunder, and suddenly, after I had said something about having heard from other people about her mother, I saw two little, tiny little pearls, the tears of a motherless child, running down her cheeks. I felt deeply ashamed. At 10 a.m. the following morning, I paid my hospital bill, said goodbye to Sister Marta, caught a taxi and checked in at the Hotel Crillon. There were no vacancies, so I had to content myself by making a reservation for the earliest possible time and took myself to the Savoy, where I was given a room on the 10th floor. I unpacked, strolled on the balcony and admired the view. It was a stupendous panoramic view of most of Lima, a magnificent kaleidoscope that stretched as far as the eye could see to the protecting hills of Chosica. I was on top of the world again, and in more senses than one. I have always liked to let things shimmer before making new decisions, and I therefore decided not to go to my office. Instead, I went to the movies, had a good dinner, and as soon as the clock struck 12 at night, I left my room and made my way to the Crillon nearby. The laggard lift delayed my entrance to the sky room, where an orchestra was playing Mexican melodies. Siti had arrived before me, and this surprised me very much, as a decent young lady wouldn't venture into a nightclub unaccompanied, even though the nightclub of the sky room at the Hotel Crillon is to be considered as one of the best, if not the very best, in all Peru. Sure enough, there were suspicious and curious glances from well-dressed people nearby. Immediately, and because of the minute blue veil she wore, people noticed the subtle difference between her and ourselves, our people from our planet. By this I mean not just cultured Peruvians, or the many, this is next to planet, and page 104 in the ebook, page 80 on the original. Well, or the many Europeans and North Americans staying at this famous first class hotel, but even the less instructive bellboys and lift operators stared at Siti. But instead of finding her embarrassed and shy, she looked at me and everybody with the greatest of ease. I ordered a Tom Collins for her and had a double scotch, which made me ask her to dance. I'm old-fashioned enough to think that our nervous system, on which we depend so much for our erotic titillation, cannot be unknown territory to those from other world. I found this to be correct, and particularly correct with the soft music and the wonderful theme song of Pedro Infante, Americito Corazón. Outside the skyroom window, millions of lights, the lights of the Fairyland of Lima, the lights of Lima by night, which is a different light to the daylight of the endless slums, the light of human illusions, were blazing and glittering while the music was playing. An unforgettable evening, I left her floating on air. During the next few days, I was able to find out many things concerning the precautionary measures protecting Siti. It's an interesting fact that Siti's feeling of security is connected with the kindness and superior intelligence of these people. Their belief that no human being on earth can really harm them because of what she called Amat Maina, or their science of soul, we do not know and understand. They are able to read our very thoughts, and are not only able to talk to their precautions, but may be able to influence our thoughts should this be necessary because of security reasons. It is evident that I was very curious about this. When I asked her about it, she did not want to explain, and only much later was I able to get the details about their precautionary measures. That was down on page 104 in the original book. No, it's 104 in the PDF of Stevens and 80 in the original book. So I stop here and make the next part in a new part or chapter.